personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Leib.
Welcome back. This is Andrew Leib, Lauren Leib, and the Chazaka, Mordechai Yankovich. If you weren't listening to the last segment, we learned that unlike baseball, when it's three strikes and you're out, based on being powerful, Mordechai Yankovich told us that a Chazaka gets three strikes and you're in. And this is, he's now a regular on the show. He's been here a lot, so he's going to be a regular, so he's the Chazaka. So Mordechai Yankovich, the Chazaka, and you got to do a Cha. That's the key. Morty, what we were talking about is we were recruiting, and it's true, we actually are recruiting. And we weren't recruiting Sheila to get people to subscribe to the podcast because we know that that sells itself. So we don't need to hire Sheila. Everyone's just subscribing and following because they know what's up. That's where the cool cats roll. This is the Leibcast, after all. But we are actually recruiting at the law firm. And we've been going through how we're going to do this. And what we learned is that last week, Lauren, we did a little business planning, didn't we? We did naked business planning.
Although you were wearing clothes.
My buddy Frankie asked me when you said naked business planning if you were actually in the nude. And I said, I meant naked like transparent. I think he has a naughty mind. Nicole, if you're listening, you're going to have to talk to your husband. So it was weird. He calls me up. He goes, are you really naked when you're doing it? And I said, do you want pictures? And I was feeling harassed.
You said Frankie naked pictures?
If Frankie wants them. I don't know. I wouldn't do it on the internet, though, because you know, you never know what happens when you get your naked pictures on the internet. He could get mad at me and send it to someone else. I would have had to do an old school photography.
Oh my goodness.
But do you remember back in the day, Lauren, joking around about when you had to get indecent pictures developed at the camera store? Like that was like a whole to-do.
I never did that, did you?
You need to get out more and have some. So anyway.
Yeah, that's not something I have any knowledge about.
Only when you're called the Chazaka. When we take off the Chazaka hat, there's a whole different Morty right under there.
So if I knew this was going to become the premise of the show, I might not have said that to you before the show.
I didn't know it was going to be the premise either. I'm just telling you what Frankie said to me, and I think his wife should reprimand him. So here's the thing. Well, anyway,
just
we called it
naked.
Well, I'm not moving forward because we called it naked business planning. And what we realized is in 2021, it was going to be the year of intentionality. And instead of being reactionary like we were in 2020, all of you, all business people being like, it felt like we were dodging nuclear missiles all year with this pandemic and what was going on with the Trump and everything else. And we said, hey, we're going to be intentional. We were doing our business plan last week. We did our goals. We did our objectives. And we were working on it, and we did naked business planning. We told you what we were really doing. We let you in the writer's room. And the feedback I got from that show, Lauren, was incredible. Like, a lot of people were telling me that this was one of the better shows we've done. Like, they very much enjoyed us telling us transparent really what's going on.
Yeah.
Besides Nicole, of course, because we were talking about the naked business planning. So I decided we were going to do it again. And we've been trying to hire a paralegal here for so long. And it's just been a nightmare. And we are having a problem hiring. It never was a problem before. Like when you wanted to hire someone, and don't misunderstand, we get like over 100 candidates. It's just click and cluck are applying. It's just a problem. So Lauren, tell Morty what's going on.
There's one thing I do have to say. So I am looking for a paralegal for Leib at Law. It is to join our team, but primarily work on our real estate transactional practice because I guess COVID just made everybody need to leave where they're living.
And we imagine that you are probably thinking about hiring too. Like, how do you hire in the middle of a pandemic? That's what the question is. So we're going to tell you what we're actually going through, and maybe we'll give you some insights and some inspiration. And unlike you, I have an employment lawyer, the Chazaka, Mordechai Yankovich, on the line with us, and he's going to tell us where we're going boo-boo because we don't want to get sued.
Yeah, so I am looking for somebody. I really like an entry-level candidate, and I really, really want somebody who just graduated college that I can train. I can have my team train. We do have a school. Like, we're really good at training.
But when you say graduate college, I was hearing Morty. He was already going.
I was just waiting for it to finish.
Yeah. Okay.
I would do it in terms of experience. I wouldn't say recent college grad. I wouldn't say on the other end of the spectrum, seasoned or experienced. I would specifically say, you know, 0 to 2 years experience or 0 to 1 year experience. Because if you say entry level or right out of college, you know, you could potentially get hit for an age discrimination lawsuit.
And the reason why is because people that graduate college, while they could be older, they're statistically significantly more likely to be young. So a lot of people don't realize that it's not just if you intentionally discriminate. It's also if your conduct has a secondary effect of discrimination. And that's something you have to be mindful of. So it's not like just the, not saying the seven dirty words. Like if you were going to avoid like a George Carlin skit. Like I wish that's all we were doing. And on the radio, it's kind of cool like that, that we can know which words to say and what not to say, and we can imply things. But in discrimination, you actually, even if it's secondary effect that you didn't mean to imply, you could still get banged with a lawsuit. So what Lauren's talking about is soliciting candidates, which is the first starting hard place. How do you find them? And Lauren, what I thought was interesting is you were using one portal to solicit candidates, and it wasn't working, and you changed portals, and you got different results. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so I do have to say that I do have a little bit of a favorite, and it's Indeed. And I like Indeed because they have these assessments, which are quizzes that you can require the people who apply to take. And I like it because I have this attention to detail test, and I need somebody that is not going to have typos in their communications. So I really want them to complete that attention to detail test. There's a lot of different tests that Indeed has. So I think they have like a reception test.
Is it free to use Indeed, or you got to pay? How does this work?
You have to pay. I think there's a pay per click or a monthly cost. There's a pay per job. It's relatively, you're not paying the same price as you would pay for a recruiter. A recruiter can get anywhere from 20 to 30% of the annual salary. So for me, in this entry level position, am I allowed to say?
No, you're not allowed to say entry level. He told you. It's how many years of experience? Not recent graduate, not entry level. It's 0 to 2 years of experience.
Okay, in this
not seasoned and not experienced. We don't want to imply that we want a young person or an old person.
Okay, what if I just want somebody really detail oriented? Can I say that?
That's fine.
So let's go back.
That's a legitimate business characteristic.
So let's go back, though. You said you were using Indeed, but you weren't getting results from Indeed, so you tried something else.
Well, here was my problem with Indeed. And what I did was somebody would apply. If I liked them, I would write back. I have a little test. In my test, I say three questions. My questions are, number one, please complete the assessment. Number two, please provide a few available times you're available for an interview. And number three, what is the best phone number to reach you on?
It's amazing how people don't realize that their initial communications with a potential employer are the screen. So we'll say to email to, for example, careers@leaveitlaw.com, and they email andrew@leaveitlaw.com, and I don't do anything to do with the recruiting. Like, that's in Lauren's business. She's the business director.
Yeah.
And so I don't have anything to do with it, and they get immediately disqualified when they can't follow the rules.
Yeah, so I have these three basic questions, and I would say 99% of the candidates did not answer those three questions.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Let me see. Provide a couple of times you are available for an interview. Why a couple is at least two. So people are either writing one or they're not writing anything and they're not giving me their phone number. So how am I even supposed to call them? So that's just ridiculous in my mind.
So you start off and we were using Indeed and you weren't getting the results you wanted, even though you love their tests. So you tried another thing. And I said, what about Monster? But apparently I'm way out of age. I'm old and not listening. Morty, did you hear that? I just told you about my age. So that would have been, you're supposed to go, ah. So anyway, Lauren.
So I heard on the radio a commercial for ZipRecruiter. So I was like, oh, okay, let me try ZipRecruiter. So I did try ZipRecruiter, and I did get a lot of people who graduated college within 2 years. Am I allowed to say that?
No. You shouldn't talk about graduated college within, because that's about the graduating college thing.
Correct.
Again. It's only experience. That's all we care about.
Okay. So I did get those people, and I'm going through resumes. I must have gotten at least 200 to 300 resumes in the last 2 weeks.
But no tests on ZipRecruiter.
There are no tests.
So while you're getting more candidates that are more appealing, you haven't been able to screen them as much for the tests.
But I still have my questions.
It's true. But maybe one of the reasons is that there's less of a barrier to entry for potential applicants to apply on ZipRecruiter because there is no test. So there's more likelihood that they're going to apply.
Yes, also ZipRecruiter pulls from, I think, a lot of college career center websites.
So you put it on ZipRecruiter, you put it on Indeed, you're getting applications, and you've got over 100 applications so far for this position, correct?
200 to 300.
200 to 300.
Yeah.
So you go through the resume. Typos on the resumes? What are we saying?
99%.
And one of the things we don't understand is, like, it's one piece of paper. Like, have your mom look at it. Have your sister look at it. Have your friend look at it.
I don't get that. I send out, like, a personal email to a friend, and I read it, like, 100 times.
Yeah.
So, a resume, it's
mind-blowing.
Incomprehensible to me that there's typos in people's resumes, and it's a common occurrence.
And I'm going to give everyone a tip right now. This is just one of my pet peeves. Don't make your first line your GPA.
That's not a 4.0.
Unless it's a 4.0. Like, seriously, like, I didn't get a 4.0, but, like, why would you make your first line, I got a 2.9?
Like, like, you're an average person,
like,
thanks.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying you don't need to put it on there somewhere, but you should lead the top of your resume with your sale, because I may not get to the bottom.
Well, and that brings me to the point. You should have on the top of your resume something that says profile or objective. And let me tell you, your objective should not be a cookie cutter objective about learning and developing. I don't want to hear about what you want. I want to hear about what's good for me.
Like Andrew said, I would put the most impressive thing about me first. So if I have meaningful experience related to the job that I'm applying to, I would have my experience first. And then I would put my education on the bottom. If I have a good GPA, I would include it. But that wouldn't be the first thing unless, like you said before, it's a 4.0. I want the potential employer to see my best characteristic first.
So we're in the middle of a pandemic and you're screening. And so your first step is that you go through the resumes, you have your tests and everything else, and then you do a phone interview for the ones that qualify. Is that your next step?
Yeah, well, if they provide me with two or more times and their phone number, they get the phone interview. So then I call them. And some of them don't answer the phone at the exact time that we made the appointment for. So those people are just automatically canceled.
And how should someone, when they call on the phone and you have the call, what should they be doing if they want to win? If they want to get this done well?
Easy. A, look me up. I'm everywhere. I have a podcast, a radio show. There's a law firm. We have a real estate school. We have a sexual harassment prevention training company. You can Google LEAB and you will see all these things. And all of these candidates that I speak to, I go, why are you interested in this position? And that somebody goes, well, my dream is to be in a big New York City firm. So if I worked for you for 2 years, then maybe I'll have the credentials to get my big New York City job. And I'm like, my office is in Smithtown, right? Like, you do realize that. And I don't even say that back. I go, well, thank you. I'll put you in the list of who I can, you know, call back.
So let me rewind again. Let me rewind, Marty. We're in the pandemic. We're trying to hire a paralegal. We're letting you in the writer's room and we're telling you what's going on because we imagine you're dealing with the same things. We learned from Lauren that her two favorite sites are Indeed and the other one is
ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter. Indeed, what she's found is better because it has tests. But ZipRecruiter gets more people for her. She was very interested in you scheduling and responding the way you're supposed to. That's a good thing. That's a good way that you should be screening potential employees because, again, you're a business owner like us. You're a manager. You want to know how to hire people. You need help because it's a booming economy in some ways. I know that it's terrible for others, but if you're in the real estate world, my real estate brokers out there are killing it. My mortgage brokers out there, they're killing it. They need assistance. They need help now. And there's going to be all different opportunities because when there's turbulence, there's always opportunity and we want to know how to seize it. So Lauren has these tests. Then she has a phone interview. And as Morty explained, you put the best thing you got going on the top. And he said, listen, on the resume, you put it on the top. And I'm saying you can even manufacture that. And Lauren's suggesting you look everyone up. You know who you're talking to. They're on the phone interview with you. How do they get to the next round?
Well, they have to show that for me that they've done their due diligence, as I said before. So if they haven't looked me up or done that, then how are they going to work for me? So I don't want
Lauren. Do some people respond to your question why they want to work here? They say because I need a job.
They say because I want to work at a law firm. And what's the difference?
Something
between,
very generic.
Yeah, between my law firm versus every other law firm that there is. So there's just key things. I'm looking for personality. I'm looking for somebody that could shift really quickly and adapt to a conversation. Because if they can't have a conversation with me, how are they going to have a conversation with clients?
So I'm having a conversation with you. We're on the phone interview.
Okay.
Do I get hired on the phone interview or is there another one?
No. Now I want to meet you.
So you want to meet me. But how do you meet someone in the pandemic? This is really the heart of what I want to get into on this call, because on the show right now. I'm saying call because I'm thinking in the pandemic, I don't want to be face to face with someone. And you've been rarely, if ever, bringing people in for in-person meetings. Are you using Zoom? Are you, when they come in?
I'm not using Zoom.
You're not using Zoom. Why aren't you using Zoom?
I like to see their body language. I want to see how comfortable they are in my environment. I want to see if they come on time, if they come before. I've had people just not show up, and I've had people show up late. And to me, that's inexcusable, because part of your job requirement is to get places on time.
So they come in, they're in person, but are they wearing a mask? Because we're
well,
COVID.
I tell them that they have to.
So you can't read their face. You can't see if they're smiling. You can't see, you can't judge them.
You can look at their eyes.
Okay.
I mean, you could look at how warm they are, their language, how they're talking to you, how they're communicating with you, how they fit in your room, your talking. I mean, there's a bunch of different things that I'm looking at.
So, Lauren, would you prefer that over a Zoom interview where you can see their facial expressions?
You know, I want them in my environment. So I haven't tried the Zoom interview. I could. I haven't done it.
So, Lauren, you have them come in person. And when you're talking to them about this, you have them come in. They meet with multiple people, I imagine, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, first I have to see if I like them. I don't want to waste anybody's time, because everybody else who works with me is their time is very valuable.
My concern, though, is, so let's assume everyone likes them. You like them. Everyone likes them. How do you go into hiring in the middle of a pandemic where Governor Cuomo could shut us down again? And people go, King Cuomo shut you down. But I got to tell you, when the pandemic is showing over 10% in Long Island, like, I don't know. I think the pandemic might be shutting us down. But let's go with this. Mm-hmm. The pandemic. King Cuomo. Someone else. We're not in business. Let's assume that. You just hired someone. How does that all work? How do you deal with valuation? How do you make these decisions in a pandemic?
Well, I mean, A, I look at how much they're going to cost me and how much I'm going to get back from them. So if they're overpriced for what they are, then that's just a scary subject to me. You know, I do think about what happens if I hire them and then we get shut down and then I can no longer pay or support them. Do I now have to pay unemployment benefits and things like that? So I usually go to Morty.
Well, that depends, Lauren. So it's actually very technical in terms of who has to pay unemployment. So I'm not going to get into that. But in terms of if they're eligible for unemployment, they do have to have some prior work. So if this is their first job and it lasts a week, you know, they're likely not going to be eligible for unemployment.
Okay.
What about health benefits, Morty, like COBRA? Like, are you going to have to give anyone COBRA if they're done working? Like, how does that all work?
Well, they have to work for a certain period of
through COBRA, if they were enrolled on Monday, then you technically have to offer COBRA. Now, that doesn't mean the employer pays the COBRA. The ex-employee has to pay it if they want it. But you have to offer it.
I lost you. I'm paying for Samantha. Well, that's a bad name because we have someone that works here named Samantha. I'm paying for Rachel. Rachel, I pay part of her insurance, her health insurance, when she works here.
Yeah.
Pretend Rachel.
Sure.
We fire pretend Rachel. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me I do or I don't have to continue paying part of her health insurance?
You do not have to continue paying for it.
So, but you are telling me that if Rachel was getting health insurance, I have to give her the COBRA paperwork and do the administrative headache.
Yep.
Of continuing to do it.
Oh, and it is a headache.
And Morty, that's true, what Lauren's saying. Yes? No?
Yes. What I was saying is you don't have to pay, but you do have to offer them COBRA, the continuing coverage of whatever they were currently getting when they were working for you.
And that's why a lot of employers, Morty, when they're hiring, like we're hiring a paralegal, don't like to offer any benefits during what's called a probation period. Because if they don't offer the benefits during the probation period, whether it be 1 month or 3 months, usually you see this about 3 months, what happens is that when someone leaves, then you don't have to continue things like COBRA. Is that correct?
Correct.
And continuing COBRA when an employee is not there is I call it friction. It's so much work to do. It's just administrative work that doesn't make you any money. So it's a business loss.
Let's bring it back. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We want to hire someone. We've been trying to get a paralegal. We've had about 300 candidates come in. Well, not come in, apply. Some of them, very few, have got to the phone interview stage. Even fewer have got to the in-person stage. And what we're now discussing is that you go hire them and what are your concerns about hiring them with government shutdown, COBRA, unemployment. We talked about some of these things. So let's assume you do a reference check. And by the way, Morty, aren't there restrictions on what you can check on this reference check?
Yeah, the you can ask for salary history.
I was just going to say, and you could get yourself in a lot of trouble if you're hiring someone and you don't know what you check on references, or you don't. You shouldn't just go do it unless you speak to an employment counsel. Like, I got Morty right here saying, don't ask salary history unless you spoke to an attorney and know the exceptions. Now, here's my next question, Morty. We found someone. We didn't. We hope you still apply. But we found someone and we hire them. Do they get an employment contract? How does this all work out?
Well, you're not required to give an employee an employment contract, and I would generally advise against it. The default rule for employment is at will, meaning that you could terminate the employee at any time for any reason with or without cause, and the employee can leave at any time for any reason with or without cause. If you do offer an employment contract, that could potentially alter that at will relationship, and you might potentially be required to pay them for a certain amount of time. Whether they stay with you or not, and that could become problematic.
As an insight, though, Morty, most people that give an employment contract do it because they're going to do some sort of non-compete or non-solicitation, which they do with the employee, so the employee can't go elsewhere or steal the people. But in the legal
industry, I would consider that to be a separate, non-solicitation, non-competition agreement. I wouldn't consider that to be a general employment contract that talks about compensation and benefits and things like that. I would consider that to be something standalone that you can potentially do.
But in the legal field, and also in the media news field, you are not allowed to do a non-solicitation, a non-compete. They're statutorily prohibited. Like, you can't do them. So that's probably why we are not even thinking about it, because we can't have an attorney that we hire get a non-compete, and you can't do that with a radio show either. It's just not allowed. So let's assume that you don't do it. But isn't it true that you still need to give them some sort of notice when you hire them about what the terms of the job are?
Yeah, you have to give them a rate of pay form, and it's on the New York State. They have a template on the New York State website, but I wouldn't just blindly go on and print it out and give it to an employee. I would show it to an employment counsel. You have to tell them what their rate of pay is. You have to tell them what their overtime rate would be. You have to tell them when their regular scheduled payday is.
Morty, I'm going to tell you what's interesting, and it's a good way to wrap up this week. What you just said sounds to someone who's not a lawyer like an employment contract. So we use these words and we go, no, don't use an employment contract. Use a non-solicitation and give a rate of pay sheet. And they go, you mean an employment contract? So what I'm hearing from you is that what you're saying is you don't want to give an employment contract because you don't want to be bound that they are able to sue you if you fire them for the rest of the term of the payment. You want to have them remain at will when you could fire them anytime you want.
Correct.
So what I've learned from this conversation, and there's a lot more to discuss, is that in the pandemic, we got lots of issues with hiring. And it sounds like a big headache to me. It sounds overwhelming to me. But the only way to grow as a business is to have a team around you to help you grow. If you try and build an empire by yourself, you will quickly fail. You need to delegate. You need to trust. You need to believe in your team. Together, you can thrive in 2021. This is the LeapCast. Have a great week.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.